A man that needs no introduction is Butch Thompson, who's kind enough to join us here on today's show. Coach, how are you?
I'm great, guys. War Eagle, let's talk a little baseball.
War Eagle, let's do it, Coach. We're excited to catch up on what's been going on in your world in the fall. And let's kind of start with the national picture here, what we've been discussing over the past few weeks. We were thrilled about it. I'm curious your thoughts. But for the first time in our life, Coach Thompson, the Atlanta Braves won the World Series this fall. As I was born 10 days after the 95 World Series, I just barely missed it. These guys were born a few months after I was. But, man, we certainly enjoyed that. What was that like for you to watch?
Well, first off, thanks for making me feel old, because I remember their last World Series vividly. And I've never been you would think somebody that's going into their 30th year of coaching college baseball had been to a World Series game. And I have not. And I was asking Tim Hudson, what does that feel like to not only be in a World Series, but throw Game 7, start Game 7 of a World Series, if you can think about that, just a few years ago with the Giants. But I had an opportunity to go to Game 5 this year. And I'm telling you, it's kind of like a bucket list, you know. At 50 years old, that's like checking a bucket list item, and it was amazing. And when Duvall hit that home run, the grand slam in the first inning, I just, you know, football, basketball, all these great events that we watch and follow and cheer for, that's one of the best moments I've witnessed in sport. And, you know, Game 5 was a little bit downhill after that.
Yeah.
When it got to the eighth and ninth inning, where you get crossed sometimes as a college coach is, you know, Kendall Graveman from Alexander City walked out for the Astros in the eighth and ninth inning. And he threw the last two innings against the Braves. And I'm like, I'm rooting for the Braves, but I don't want them to beat Kendall. And so as awesome as that experience was in the first inning for Kendall to come out in the eighth and ninth inning, and he really threw great that game. I think the catcher had hit a home run off of him a couple of nights before, but he had such a great postseason run. He threw two great innings there to send that thing back to Houston. It was a lot of mixed emotions, but, man, I am glad to knock that off my bucket list and experience, you know, a World Series game, that environment for the Braves to bring that back. It just enriches baseball, right, and our whole footprint, because this is a huge part of that footprint. And just everything I've heard from all these players through the years, you know, Austin Riley was a guy that I've had committed to college and spent a lot of time with his family, and just Grant Dayton, one of Auburn's guys, and Tim Hudson when Tim Hudson was with the Braves. Snitker was the third base coach. You just knew that Snitker or Dusty was going to get a World Series championship, and it was going to be very overdue and deserving for those two guys. But Brian Snitker, the man I know, that we are trying to get in here for our first pitch banquet before we kick off our season this year. Somebody like that winning it, his devotion to that, to the Braves and to that organization for his whole career, it was pretty neat seeing the Atlanta Braves deliver this time around.
That'd be so cool if that were to happen, seeing Brian Snitker here on the Plains for that banquet that you got going on there as Atlanta wins their first World Series since 1995. That's so cool, Coach, that you got to be there to experience it. The Battery looked unbelievable with the number of people they had piling in there around Truist Park and that sort of thing. And you mentioned Austin Riley. I mean, this guy was a near league MVP candidate. Are you surprised at all to see the success he's had?
Just when you see somebody in a junior year in high school, you know that he has a bright future, but come on, can you ever really think where people are chanting MVP and you're playing on the World Series team? you know he was a heck of a ball player, but it's all these guys, when they wind up making it to the big leagues, it's such an elite level. And then when you get to a rival being an MVP and playing a World Series and play so great, make a difference for your club, I mean, that's what we call exceeding, you know, expectations, don't you think?
For sure. Let me get one more in here before we transition to some Auburn baseball talk, as Butch Thompson, he's the head baseball coach of the Auburn Tigers, is joining us here on Sports Call. So 2 days prior to Game 5 of the World Series, Coach, you were seen out in public at the basketball scrimmage that they had, and Coach Thompson was asked to be a judge for the slam dunk contest on hand. What was that like, Coach?
Well, it was pretty simple for me, right? If I can only jump, you know, I need knee replacement on my right knee. If I can only jump 3 inches, anybody that got near the rim was an automatic 10 for me. And, you know, I think about one, I'm always honored when, you know, anybody on campus asks me to do something. I'd rather say yes. I have to give them a no. But we try to do everything. And Bruce is, means so much to all of us and everybody and everything Auburn, that when he allows or asks you to do something, I'm always there. And I know they're getting started tonight, so it starts another journey for those guys, and I share in that excitement for their upcoming season. So, man, I'm just glad to play a small part. But, again, I was going to hold up a 10 if anybody just got near the rim, which those guys got way above the rim.
Yeah, that's a good choice that you made there. I've always said my one life goal is to let me dunk a basketball one single time. I haven't got there yet, Coach. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but that's what I keep striving for. I'm so jealous of people that can make it look so easy. Butch Thompson's joining us here on the program today. He's the head baseball coach of the Auburn Tigers as we're kind of transitioning more towards the spring ahead. And you just wrapped up a fall season, Coach. When you look back at what your team was able to accomplish in 2021 or maybe fall just short of, what kind of sticks with you from last season?
Well, I just think you take everything, right? I just what I'd reiterate to you and all our fans out there is that we're shooting for the big one, right? I mean, this is Auburn. This is SEC. I believe in this place, and I believe we're built here, and we're working every day to win a national championship. So that doesn't change from the 2021 season where we felt like we fell short of our goals. The one thing we haven't done is compromise our standards. You've seen all our guys, seven guys went on to professional baseball. All our guys came back. You know, they resisted that transfer portal, and our guys believe in Auburn and have hung together. We've had a great fall. We got 23 squad games. That's the most we played. We're really trying to get back to what we did in 17 of a regional final, 18 of a super regional final, and then 19, you know, finally knocking that door down of a super regional and getting to the College World Series. And 20 so disappointing, being a wash with so many veteran players and not getting a conference play. And then 21, you know, just 11 one-run losses is kind of the difference. It's such a fine line when you start playing the best amateur baseball in the world. So, you know, we probably don't have to move mountains, and our roster wasn't that different last year than it had been the three full seasons before that. And so we just regrouped, just decided to keep working hard. We're going to keep our goals what the goals are, maintain this standard. And I think this is a club that, you know, I was talking to Clemson's coach when we played the fall practice or inner squad, whatever you want to call it, with those guys a couple of weeks ago, Monty Lee, who's a good friend. And he asked me about our club, and I said, we could be anything. And that's what it's like living in the SEC West in baseball and so many other of our sports. So we're just we're gearing up. We think we got another SEC roster that has talent. And can we make those small adjustments and changes to go right back in from this 21 season, make some adjustments, put into practice for 2022, and flip those 11 one-run games and get back, immediately back to what we were doing before.
Coach, you mentioned a lot of scrimmages, a lot of your squad, and a lot of fall ball here. What do you look for in your team to show you that they are making progress towards the goal of being ready on opening day? And then what kind of challenges present itself when you have a lot of fall ball here, but then you have the winter months, you maybe have a little bit less work before you approach the season in February?
Yeah, you know, I always say practice is for the coaches and the games for the players. You know, you really want to get into a season and feel like you've done enough pre-work and you've gone through all your phases and that you have a team that's ready and can go out and play. That's the perfect world. You know, being last fall in three locker rooms, and I think we got in 12 squad games compared to 23 this year, so that tells you a little bit of difference there. So to get focused on this team, half of it's brand new. So 20 returners, 20 new guys. So that gives us a chance to get better when you got 20 guys. And some of these guys have made some big impacts if we start tossing names around. But those 23 games really allowed us to evaluate our players, get back in one locker room, focus on our culture. We were able to go back and get up at 6 a.m., you know, 4 days a week this fall. And you would think that a player would go like, oh, my gosh, what are we doing? And then I'm doing end of the fall player meetings right now, and I'm looking through all their notes, and they're raving about our culture and the 6 a.m. and us getting together and being together and pushing a little bit. I think they missed that, not being able to do that. So I'm impressed by what I'm hearing back from our guys. So I think we went back and got a little bit of confidence, to be honest. I think some new players come in fresh, good ball players helped us out. I think some players that went through last year have decided to dust their pants off and feel like we got to make some adjustments. We've had a chip on our shoulder the whole fall. It's not like maybe after 19 where you're doing everything you can to try to get these guys re-engaged again after a World Series season. The coaches, the players, everybody has a chip on their shoulder right now, and I think that's helped us develop more, work harder, be a little bit more focused and being intentional in everything we do, and I think that'll bear out for us in the spring.
Coach, you mentioned the several newcomers for your team this year. Talk about how they've kind of ingratiated themselves into the Auburn culture and how they've ingratiated themselves with the coaches and also their fellow teammates.
Yeah, if I would mention some players, I think it's good because these players are in the same locker room. These guys are together every day. Ram Bush, our junior college player from Texas, Blake, has just been amazing. He's going to be that grinder that when Judd Ward was healthy and at his best, what we all loved about Judd Ward, now Judd being gone, Blake Rambush is that new player that absolutely is going to have the dirtiest uniform and get after it. And he's played some third base and some right field. That's the guy that our players voted as MVP for the entire fall. The elephant in the room for our program and especially our pitching staff has been able to finish a ball game. When I mentioned 11 one-run losses, we were in position with a couple more games at Arkansas, a couple of games at Ole Miss. I mean, I can go down the line. It's time to move on and get focused in the moment. But a Blake Burkhalter is the pitcher that stood up and said, I'm not going to give the hitters more credit than they deserve, and I'm going to go right at guys. And he's the guy that we feel like if the season started next weekend, that Blake Burkhalter would be getting the ball late in the ball game. And he was phenomenal. He picked up a cutter in the high 80s, and it's 93-95. But really, it's a mentality shift from last year. What did I learn? What were the things that I was thinking wrong mentally? How can I put it into practice? He went off and had a great summer, come back and commanded the ball and went after guys the whole fall. So now we have some confidence with a guy at the back end of the ball game that can get us going quick. Our toughest hitter was Ryan Dowell, who hit, 190, 200 last year. And we thought in recruiting that he was a major hitter, a left-handed bat that is tremendous for us. He had the Tommy John surgery in 20, so it's just like he's just now getting back into rhythm. He had an amazing fall, and it's not that he just led us in home runs and sprayed the ball all over the ballpark. In 83 at bats, he only struck out 3 times. That's why I don't think it's a fluke. And somebody like Ryan Dowell having a big year with the bat. When you start talking about losing a Tyler Miller and a Ryan Bliss, a couple of key pieces, it's exciting to see Ryan Dowell do that. And then really for us to scratch and claw, and even though we like our roster, again, winning in the SEC is not just being good, because everybody's good, and we're gonna have to have some guys that make us tough, some veterans. And I think that's what the Carson Skipper, a senior left-handed pitcher, that when we won 3 of the last 4 series at the end of last year, he was right in the middle of it. And for him to forego those 6 figures of entering pro ball to come back and want to finish off this Auburn degree, but really to lead this pitching staff and this baseball team to get back to where we need to get to and have been, we're going to need a couple of trustworthy foxhole guys like a Carson Skipper and a Garrett Farquhar that continues to come back instead of going somewhere else and playing. He wanted to be at Auburn. I think guys like Skipper, Farquhar, Brody Moore are guys that could have moved on but are willing to stay. And Brody's going to go move in Skip Ryan Bliss's place and play shortstop. And Farquhar's probably our best third baseman. Him and Ram Bush tag team in and out there. Carson Skipper at the front end of our pitching staff, and a Burkhalter at the back end. Ryan Dowell swinging it that way. We got Sonny DeShera.
Yeah.
Came from Sanford, who can hit the long ball and play first base, going to be a crowd favorite, and such a team guy. And we got many more. But those are some of the highlights of guys that have really had great falls for us.
I was never smart enough to think of Sonny D. Like, that's incredible. Because I was going to mention, Coach, I was on the call for a couple of those games that you guys played against Sanford over the years. And it seemed like DeShira already loved playing at Plainsman Park, was already a big fan of that green monster out there in left field. Now every time he steps into the batter's box, it helps your team out, Coach.
Isn't that neat? He's a great guy. And, you know, he was a high school teammate with Garrett Farquhar and then Sanford's coach, Casey Dunn, of course, is an Auburn legend, basically. And, of course, Casey has moved over to UAB during the offseason. And, you know, in that transition, you know, a player like Sonny, when he hit the portal and we had an opportunity to at least talk to him and several other schools in our league, that's a guy that hit 18 home runs last year. And that's a guy that hit 3 home runs in the start for regional last year. So this is a guy that, you know, comes to Sanford and comes to Auburn, and you're like, man, what's this guy going to do for us? We think he's going to really hit. And it's not just power. I think when you look at a deeper level, when you see his at-bats, if you're following us closely, I think you're going to be impressed with his evaluation of the strike zone, being able to, you know, swing at strikes, take balls, and just he has a plan. And I think people will be able to see that and respect it. And we expect big things from him.
Let me hear you talk about the accountability coach that you've developed with Gabe Gross, with Carl Nunnemaker, your coaching staff. You guys have been together for several years now, which is so great for a program and sustaining success the way they have. But holding one another accountable to make sure Auburn baseball is at its absolute best.
Yeah, and these guys care, right? These guys this has been their place. Even if they wasn't working at Auburn baseball, they had already chosen for Auburn to be their home. And they've got so much experience, but we're all in, you know, and it's like I talk about having that chip on our shoulder. We believe in this program, and we spent years building this program, and, you know, we kind of stumped our toe. So I think that's done nothing but cause us to rally in a circle, put our head down, be even more intentional in our work this fall. And we're pretty hungry, and I think it's a great place to be. I've enjoyed this fall as much as any fall that I've enjoyed here, because coming to work every day and everybody kind of laser-focused, it was good to get back to that. I think the COVID and the separation and everything had been long enough for us, and, you know, we're still adhering to every rule that we need to, and it's real, but we want to get back to our craft. We want to get back to developing our players. We want Auburn baseball to immediately get back to what we know we're capable of, and that's our pursuit, and that's made it fun.
So let's get out of here with this thing, Coach. Lay out these next 7 to 8 weeks for us. What does it look like for you and your staff and your team before January rolls around and suddenly we're in 2022 staring down that next season?
Yeah, so now it's, you know, you go and build a team, and I think this finishes one of the questions earlier that I didn't completely button up is, you know, you have a fall and you have so many days. You get 27 days on the field out of that 45-day window of fall practice. Mm-hmm. Now that that's ended, we'll have individual meetings with every player. The phase now is to see how much weight we can move around, you know, so, and get ready for classes. I think the last day of classes is December 3rd, so these guys have just shy of a month to compete in the classroom and then get ready for exams the 6th of the 10th and do the best they can this semester. We shut all the arms down, so they'll crank it back up December 1. We can't work with them again until January the 12th, and we'll start immediately on January the 12th throwing bullpens. We'll basically have 16 days when you get to January the 28th. Then we'll be able to come together as a team again from that small group and have 3 consecutive weekends of squad games leading into the season. So really we got between now and January the 28th to get in shape. Once January 28th hits, our coaches, our players, we need to know our roles. We need to have a good feel of our team. And then we got 3 weeks to do some squad games heading into the year. But self-accountability is the name of the game. In college baseball, that's presented. So we pull away a little bit as coaches, and now the self-accountability of a player to run himself through December and January to continue the lifting, the running, the hydration, the getting to sleep, how elite of a player they want to be, how much of a team player do they want to invest in taking care of themselves to create the best team that we can possibly in the spring. That self-accountability is huge. And then January the 12th, then these coaches will take over. And then February the 18th, out in Arlington, you know, we'll line up against a Texas Tech team and see what we got.
Time to have some fun then, that's for sure. That's awesome. I forget about the academic side of things with this coach. I mean, they've got so much to balance this time of year. If one of your players came to you and said, Coach, I need a little help, I need some tutoring possibly, what subject would you feel most confident in, Coach Thompson? I don't know that you've been asked that question before. That's why I need to know the answer.
I did. I taught weight training and a little human development. So I got a couple of courses under my belt as an educator. So.
Oh wow! Okay.
I could. We've all started, right? I've mowed the grass. I've washed the clothes. I've worked up the ranks of junior college and NAIA baseball before I got to the SEC. And we probably need to edit this part. They might ask me to teach a class for 2 years. Next few semesters, these guys, you can see it in their eyes when I'm sitting here and I'm having them take me through their classes and what they're getting. Some of these classes they mention, just the names of the classes, it scares me. And because a lot of times I wish I was back in their shoes still playing, but when we start sitting down talking about academics and how hard some of these classes are, I'm like, man, I'm kind of glad to be the coach today.
No doubt. Coach, you're the best. We hope that you and the family are doing well. We wish you a very happy holiday season and look forward to chatting with you before the season really cranks up and gets going. Thanks for doing this again today, Coach.
Always, man. Sports Call, you guys are on top of it. Thank you. War Eagle.
War Eagle, we appreciate that. That's Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson, kind enough to join us here on today's show.